The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. We welcome you to Marsh Chapel on this seventh Sunday after Pentecost as we join together in scripture and song in praise of God. Whether you are seated here in the nave of the chapel, listening live via WBUR at 90.9 FM in the greater Boston area, listening over the internet at WBUR.org, or listening later via podcast, please know that you are a valued part of our community. My name is Jessica Chica, and I have the pleasure of serving as the University Chaplain for International Students here at Marsh Chapel. Our dean, the Reverend Dr. Robert Allen Hill, is traveling this week and sends his warm regards to each of you. Today, we welcome our guest preacher, the Reverend Dr. Stephen Cady, for a second week as he shares the good news with us. Reverend Cady joins us today from Asbury First United Methodist Church in Rochester, New York, where he serves as senior pastor. We are excited to have you and your family with us again this week, Stephen. Today, the psalmist reminds us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, as a part of God's creation. We gather this morning to worship God and be reminded of the divine gifts of grace which join us together in the body of Christ. Let us stand as we are able in praise of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, the fountain of all wisdom, you know our necessities before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Have compassion on our weakness and mercifully give us those things which for unworthiness we dare not and for our blindness we cannot ask. Through the worthiness of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, and God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We now enter into a time of reflection on both the things we have done and the things that we have left undone that might burden us throughout our days. As the choir sings the Kyrie, may we reflect on our lives as interconnected members of this world and children of God who are constantly struggling and striving to live out God's word in the world. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Friends, hear the good news. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thanks be to God.
A lesson from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human, except the human spirit that is within? So also, no one comprehends what is truly God's, except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. verses from Psalm 139 with the antiphon. You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you, for the night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God, and how vast the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Now, brothers and sisters, please rise as you are able for the singing of the Gloria Patri and the reading of the Gospel. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Glory to you, O Lord. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The point of salt is to be salty. The point of light is to shine. The point of life is to love. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We are alive. Jane was a traveler, and as happens to travelers from time to time, one day Jane found herself in a new city. The city of everywhere. Perhaps you've been there. Jane had not. But she was a city girl at heart, having grown up in the land of the bean and the cod. And so she was up for the adventure. Plus, the city of everywhere, by all appearances, was beautiful. The streets were clean. The architecture was appealing. The people were so friendly. There was just one thing that was slightly off as she walked down the street, and that is that no one, not a single person she passed, was wearing any shoes. Strange, Jane thought, as she ducked into a coffee shop. And as she waited for her iced latte, skim, Her curiosity got the better of her, and as she was looking around at all of those shoeless people, she finally stopped the manager as he was walking by. "Excuse me, manager," she said, "I'm new to your city. It's very beautiful. The streets are so clean. The architecture is so appealing. The people are so friendly. I just have one question. Tell me, why isn't anybody wearing any shoes?" The manager gave her a looking, a knowing smile, nodded his head, and said, "Ah, that's the question. Why don't we?" "Right," said Jane, "like, that's the question. That's what I'm asking. Why don't you wear any shoes? Don't you all believe in shoes?" "Believe in shoes?" said the manager. "Of course we believe in shoes. It's the first article of our creed, shoe wearing. Oh, think of the suffering that shoes prevent. Think of the sores, the stubs, the scabs, all avoided by those wonders of wonders, shoes." Starting to get a little freaked out, Jane slowly backed out of the coffee shop with her iced latte, of course, skim. And as she walked down the street, she was in such a state of consternation that she almost didn't notice the beautiful building coming up right in front of her. It was made of stone. It had beautiful colored glass windows with pictures in it, spires on either side seeming to frame that beautiful architecture. And as she was staring up at this building, an old man sauntered over to her and said, "Beautiful, isn't it?" "Yes," said Jane to the man. "Tell me, what is it?" "Oh, this," said the man, "this is our pride and joy. This is our shoe manufacturing establishment." "You mean you make shoes in there?" said the woman. "No," said the man. "Oh, no, don't be silly. No, this is where we talk about making shoes. We have a whole staff of people that we pay to speak to us each week about the joys of shoe wearing. We broadcast it on the radio so that all can hear the importance of wearing shoes in this world. And sometimes the speakers are so moving that we weep and commit to wearing shoes in the week ahead." Looking down at the man's feet, Jane said to him, "Well, you go here?" "Yes," said the man, "every week. And when I can't be here in person, I tune in on the radio or listen to the podcast or sometimes even read the blog posts." Then Jane said to the man, "Well, why don't you wear any shoes?" And the man looked at her and said, "Ah, that's the question. Why don't I?" But before she could continue, Jane noticed just over the man's shoulders a small cobbler shop on the other side of the street. It had a sign that said open, but it didn't look to have many visitors coming in. And so Jane quickly dismissed herself kindly to the older man, and she walked across the street and straight into the cobbler shop. And there were shoes of all shapes and sizes over the walls. And the cobbler was just finishing the final touches on a beautiful pair of shoes. And she said to the cobbler, "Cobbler, why isn't there a run on your shop? I look around the town and not a single person is wearing any shoes." And the cobbler gave her a knowing smile and he said, "Well, ma'am, that's the thing. People around here just want to talk about wearing shoes. Nobody actually wears them." Just then, Jane had an idea. She bought as many pairs of shoes as she could hold, and she ran across the street. She found the old man who was still staring at that beautiful building, and she threw the shoes at the man's feet, and she said, "Good news, sir, I have shoes for you. I bought all shapes and sizes, all colors and styles. Certainly there's a pair that fits you." The man looked down at the shoes and then up at Jane and then back down at the shoes and then back up at Jane and just said, "I'm sorry, miss, it's just not done. Why don't you wear any shoes?" said Jane, said the man. "Ah, that's the question. Why don't we?" And as Jane traveled back from the city of everywhere to here, She couldn't get that question out of her mind. Why don't we? Why don't we? Why don't we? Jesus was standing on a hill, giving the sermon of his life before he would give his life as the sermon. It began poetically, perhaps you've heard it, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the peacemakers." And then, according to Matthew, he gets to the meat of the sermon, or in this case, perhaps the seasoning. He says, "You are the salt of the earth." It's sort of a strange thing to say, "You are the salt of the earth," but if we can set aside the strangeness of the metaphor for just a moment, we can see what he was trying to do, can't we? Here he was at the very beginning of his ministry, right in the middle, the very beginning of Matthew's gospel, trying to say to those who were gathered around them that they are important not for what they do, but for who they are. He was not speaking literally. We can get into trouble when we assume literalism. He was speaking theologically. He was telling them they're important not for what they do, but for who they are. And if we're honest, we all need that reminder from time to time, don't we? After all, we live in a world that from the moment we wake up until the moment we go to bed tries to convince us otherwise. It tries to tell us that our worth comes from the way we look, or the people we know, for the people who know us. But it's not true. Friends, we are more than our Twitter followers. We're more than our Facebook or Instagram likes. We're more than our bodies. We're more than our grades. We're more than our jobs. We're more than our bank accounts. We're more than the way that we look at other people. We are the salt of the earth, which means we have worth not because of the things we do, but because of who we are. And just in case you've forgotten between last week and this one, let me just remind you, you are, as I am, a child of God. But the truth is, accepting that truth is just the beginning. We then have to live like it matters. Jesus continues, "You are the salt of the earth," but if salt has lost its taste, its saltiness, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. And if we're honest, we recognize that phenomenon as well. We know from our own experience that in those moments when we've forgotten who we are in the eyes of God, when we've started to believe the hype, when we've started to find our worth in those more fleeting things of life, money or sex or accomplishment, we can quickly feel like we are being trampled underfoot. And so we need a little help. The good news is that even in those moments, when it feels like the world is walking all over us, we still have worth. After all, we are the salt of the earth. Now, salt was more than a preservative or a form of currency in the ancient Near Eastern world, hence something being worth its salt. It was also, if you'll pardon my digression for just a moment, a leveling agent for the most common fuel for outdoor fires at the time, which, of course, was manure. That's right, manure. Thanks so much for having me. Manure was used as a fuel for outdoor fires, and salt was used with that so that it would help them burn longer and hotter and more completely. And then the solid charred remains were thrown out into the streets so that it could absorb mud. In other words, it was literally trampled upon and yet still had worth. And while that doesn't sound particularly pleasant for us, think for a moment about what it would mean if we were the leveling agents for this world. What would it mean if we were the people who took this message and spread it evenly to the world, to all? What if we didn't just talk about love, but we tried to live it in the world, to not just listen to what Jesus shared, but to share it with the rest of the world, to spread it evenly so that our love might make the path a little easier for those who come after us? Or said another way, friends, what would it mean if we wore the shoes we talk so much about? The truth is, we have not done a very good job at this as Christians, not in the last 2,000 years and not even in the last year. When was the last time that Christians made headlines for the way that they love? It doesn't happen very often because we don't do it very often. Think of everything we've talked about in the public sphere over the course of this last year, from immigration to the plight of refugees, to the rise of anti-Semitism and anti-Muslim sentiment. Christians have either at best been silent or at worst complicit in those moments. But friends, we are meant to be salty. We are the salt of the earth, and if we're not willing to stand up, then who is? The entirety of the Christian faith is predicated on love of the other. It's not a part of our faith, it is our faith. We are called to love our neighbor as ourselves, not the people who look like us or smell like us or think like us, but all. We are, remember, children of the same God, which means we have a rather large family. Salt is meant to be salty. And we are the salt of the earth. But if the metaphor is a problem, the good news is, Jesus goes on, at least according to Matthew, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand so that it may give light to all in the household. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. Let your light shine before others." So to recap, just in case we've missed the point, here it is. The point of light is to shine. We're not a people who just talk about light, we're a people who shine it. We're not a people who talk about wearing shoes, we're a people who wear them. Or to drop the metaphor for a moment, we're not a people who talk about life, we live it, and the only way to do it is through love. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. The truth is, it's so easy to get cynical about this faith thing, to look around our world and to think to ourselves, this is all a bunch of manure, and most of the time, we're right. The truth is, our faith is only as good as the people who are willing to live like it matters. We spent too long convincing ourselves that our faith is about what happens when we die, when the opposite is really true. It's about what happens when we live, not at death, but right now. Our faith is about life. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Howard Thurman, the former dean of this chapel, used to say, "Don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive, and then go and do that, because what this world needs are people who have come alive." And if it feels too overwhelming to change the world, perhaps we can start in that sphere over which we have more influence, that is, our relationships with each other. If we can work to make those a little more loving, If we can reach out in compassion or generosity or forgiveness to someone else, then if we can build a little kingdom of heaven here, then there just might be hope for those cities of everywhere. And if in our travels through life, after taking a hard look in the mirror, we recognize that we don't love as we should, then we owe it to ourselves, we owe it to this world to ask that hard question. Why don't we? Why don't we? Why don't we? Amen.
We now come to the time in our service when we turn our hearts and minds to prayer and lift up our lives and ourselves to God. Please assume an attitude and posture of prayer by either remaining seated, standing, kneeling, or coming to the communion rail as we sing together our call to prayer, "Lead Me, Lord." God of life, we praise you for your abiding presence from generation to generation, blessing your people, strengthening us to lives of service, empowering us to witness. Hear the prayers we offer on behalf of your creation. I will end each petition with, "Hear us, O God," and the response is, "Your mercy is great." O God, strengthen your church to do your work in the world. Remind us of your eternal presence so that we may be salt and light as we share your peace and love with others. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Help us to maintain the balance of your creation by recognizing our interconnection with the entire earth. Enable us to recognize the ways that we create damage and give us hope to change our ways. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Draw leaders away from bitterness and into your ways of kindness and mercy. Help them to recognize injustice and act to establish righteousness. Replace blame and malice with forgiveness and justice. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Sustain all whose journey feels too hard to bear. Restore the hope of all who despair. Comfort those who are poor, oppressed, persecuted, or homeless. Heal the sick and comfort the grieving, especially those we name before you now. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Bless this congregation that we may continue to serve in your service to the community of Boston University and the city of Boston. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Grant that as we serve you now on earth, so we may one day rejoice with all the saints of your kingdom of light and peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Good morning. We welcome you again on this Midsummer Sunday in July. Thank you for joining us as a part of our community of worship today, whether you are here in the sanctuary, listening on the radio or live stream on the internet, or later via the podcast. For those of you joining us in the sanctuary, we invite you to fill out your name and contact information in the red pads found along the center aisle of each pew. This helps us to get to know you better and for you to get to know one another better. Following the service, our summer non-coffee hour will take place out on Marsh Plaza. We invite all of you to join us for lemonade and cookies and watermelon outside in fellowship with the rest of our community. Next week, our preaching series on New Directions in Discipleship will continue with the return of our own Dean, Robert Allen Hill. For the remainder of the summer preaching schedule, please consult your bulletin or log on to the Marsh Chapel webpage at bu.edu/chapel. Finally, we want to remind those of you joining us in person or planning to join us in person on Sunday morning starting next Sunday and the first two Sundays in August that construction on the Commonwealth Bridge will begin Wednesday, July 26th and extend until at least August 14th. Information on alternative routes and impacted roads can be found on the insert inside the bulletin, as well as at our website at bu.edu/chapel. Maps of road closures are also available from the hospitality staff. The chapel will remain open during the construction, and Sunday service at 11 o'clock will continue as normally scheduled. Now, as the ushers wait upon us for the offering, may we remember that it is a gift and a discipline to be a giver.
Will you join me in prayer? God, you are the ground from which we have emerged and from which we have received every blessing. We now offer a portion of these gifts back to you as a sign of our appreciation of and gratitude for your act of creation. May this offering enable your church to wear shoes, to be salt and light, and to bring about justice, wholeness, love, and the formation of meaningful lives in the context of creation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Go now and do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, so long as ever you can. Amen.